The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Welcome back inside the MDN studio, Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTK.com. Let me tell you a little bit about our friends at Grand Traverse Resort. It's never too early to start making plans for the next big event. If you didn't make plans to go up there for Valentine's Day, maybe you want to get up there for a winter spa getaway with your significant other. GrandTraverseResort.com for all the great spa packages available for the winter time. Other winter packages available as well, including some indoor tennis, the spa, some great things going on, the indoor-outdoor golf. You can also right now book your spring break package and get up to 30% off. The 30% off special is going on right now if you plan ahead for your spring break plans. And also, it's never too early to get ready for the summer. They also have special pricing on summer vacations if you're planning right now. Check out all those great package deals and more at GrandTraverseResort.com. That's GrandTraverseResort.com. So as we lament the loss, from the game last night, you dig into what went wrong, what went into Michigan playing their, having their worst performance of the season, of the season, or at least of Big Ten play last night in the loss, the 75-69 loss to Penn State on the road there in Happy Valley. First, let's talk about it from a Michigan player's perspective. Let's kind of go through it real quick because you had issues out there for some of the guys. Iggy Brazdeikis, again, couldn't stay on the floor. He only played 17 minutes. He had four personal fouls. His second personal foul was a bad call. It was a phantom call. He actually didn't even touch the guy, but he picked up a really bad third foul early in the second half, limited his minutes. He was 3 of 3 in the first half before he picked up that second foul in just 9 minutes. And if he could have stayed on the floor, you kind of think about what else he could have provided to the team. In the second half, he plays, another 8 minutes, picks up two more fouls, and those were not good fouls. The early foul, the one on the three-pointer, just not good fouls. And you hope that he's not hitting some sort of a freshman wall. You just hope that he's in a little bit of a skid and that he can come out of it this weekend. And, in fact, on Saturday, he is going to be – he and Livers and Teske this coming Saturday against Maryland – against Bruno Fernando and against Jalen Smith. When those two guys in particular are both on the floor together and they start, they're both 6'10 or bigger, they're long, they're athletic. Smith can go play inside and out. You're going to need really strong defensive performances from Teske on the block and by Iggy and Livers on the four-man, which is Jalen Smith. Now, when one of them goes to the bench, you can change things up a little bit, but you're going to need Iggy to play better on Saturday when Maryland comes to town. He finished the game last night playing just 17 minutes. You look at John Teske, and he was perfect in the fact that he was 2 of 2 from the floor and had a free throw, but he also had a couple of turnovers. He did have two blocks, but he only had 5 points and 5 rebounds in 31 minutes, and he struggled in the game yesterday just all around. They went right at him at times to take advantage of the fact that he's not Lamar Stevens is a tough matchup for him. And it cost him at times. There were a couple of plays where he just couldn't get really good hands on passes under in low to corral the ball and get a shot up, and maybe could have had a few more points here or there. I'm thinking about one later in the game in particular on a pass from Xavier Simpson that Teske couldn't corral, and he was a little too quiet, or a lot too quiet. I think the word that I used that I was thinking about during the game is that he had been neutralized really on both sides of the floor. Jordan Poole from two is pretty good. Jordan Poole from two, he was 6 of 8. Jordan Poole from two was aggressive and was a pretty solid player. Jordan Poole from three hit 1 3-pointer, and that was late. And they needed that one late. It made it feel like they had a shot right there in the end when they were trying to come back and had that final closing of the gap they couldn't quite overcome. But he was 1 of 8 from long range overall. And, I mean, there was a stretch in the second half where he just looked – he looked broken, in particular looked broken from long range, but he had a couple of bad possessions, and they were those kind of, 4 and 5 point swing possessions, and you go from a 4 point game to a 9 point game in a hurry when you have a bad play on the offensive end. I don't want to say that Jordan Poole had a really struggle on the defensive end. He didn't have his best defensive game. Offensively, inside the arc, he was solid, but outside the arc, he was 1 for 8. And he did finish the game with 17 points. He had 4 rebounds, had 4 assists, also had a couple of turnovers in there, did have a steal. But it was the three-point shooting. That's the thing in general. he needs to find his 3-point shooting. They need him to be a better 3-point shooter if they're going to win games. You need that when you're late in a game and you're down 4 or 6 points, that you can get the ball in his hands and you feel very confident that he's going to put it up and he's going to make it. Now, he and Xavier Simpson both each made one late in the game when the game was on the line, but they shot themselves out of the game by missing too many earlier. And in this case, Poole in particular was 0-7, or was 0-6, and I guess he was 1-2 late. But he was really, really struggled. 0-2 in the first half, and then started putting up even more shots in that second half. Just struggled, just trying to find offense. And part of that is when you're down as a team, you press a little bit more. So I get that. But they need to, right now for Jordan Poole, it is just about confidence. At least to me, from the outside looking in, it just looks to be about confidence. And maybe you need to take some smarter shots, but you take smarter shots and you look like you're in the better flow of the offense and all those things when you're more confident. He just seems to be really shaken at this moment. For Xavier Simpson, 2 of 9 overall. His two makes were actually from long range. He was 0 of 3 from two. He had a couple of shots that got blocked inside when he attacked the rim and also had a miss in there as well. It wasn't one of his better performances. Obviously didn't have a really good shooting game. But the number that really jumps out to you is that he had 6 turnovers in the game. And I know that the 3-quarter court pressure and the traps that Penn State was playing was definitely got to Michigan at times. And they were blitzing some of the ball screens. That was the terminology they were using on TV. They were blitzing those ball screens every once in a while and putting Xavier Simpson in some bad spots. To me, he's the guy that you learn that he's going to take the most, I think, out of this game as far as what did I do? What did they do to me? What can I do differently? They took away the crossover into the hook shot. They took away the hook shot in general, didn't let him get any space. So teams are going to start learning a little bit more how to prevent that. So what's Michigan's counter? What's Xavier Simpson's counter? They're taking away his ability to get to the hook. He does have some other creativity in him to get to the lane. So I do expect that to happen, and I expect him to come up with it's not a correction as much as the adjustment that he's going to make, and he's going to need to make one both in how he takes care of the basketball, although I think that's more of an anomaly type thing, and I think that he just needs to feel his shots a little bit better, and I think he's going to learn he's going to find that next counter. He's going to find that next, what is that next action that he can do to free himself up and over the next few days of practice, because you get tape on these guys. We say it all the time in football and in basketball, right? You get tape on these guys, and you start seeing what you can do to attack them. Teams are going to look at this tape and try to figure out how to use these styles against Michigan, but John Beilein's going to spend the next, and I'm sure he's already been doing it, spending all this time watching the film and trying to figure out what he can do to scheme to go against the, like, Penn State switching on everything defense. So when other teams switch on everything, which you're going to see maybe as soon as this Saturday against Maryland, when teams are switching everything, what do you do differently? And I expect them to have a counter. I expect them to have more of an attacking mode. They didn't get a lot of the pick and roll going to the basket action, and a lot of it had to do with the switching that was happening. So what's that counter? What are they going to do differently? I'm curious to see what that looks like on Saturday, because there are things they can do. They just need to scheme it up and prep it and be ready for it coming up on Saturday. Isaiah Livers, he needs to get more shots. He was 2 of 4 overall, 1 of 2 from three, also 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 7.7 rebounds in his 33 minutes. Obviously played a lot because of Iggy's foul trouble, and also because he was a little bit of a better matchup against Stevens than Teske was, even though Teske still ended up playing 31 minutes in the game. Johns picked up 4 minutes off the bench, and the rest of the minutes inside went to Livers. He needs to be, I don't know if it's be more aggressive or whatever it is, to find him more shots. Because he's been very efficient these last few games, and he just needs more looks. And whether it's getting to the rim, I know he had a couple of plays where one of the Xavier Simpson turnovers, he thought Livers was going to the hoop. Livers went back towards the corner for the three on a break. So they've got to get that rhythm back together on the break in general. But also, just in addition, more ways to get looks for Isaiah Livers, because because he's been very efficient and he's been doing a solid job in the game last night, 7.7 rebounds, maybe a few more attempts that can fall can help that offense be a little bit more balanced, because the scoring last night was really, it was two guys more than anybody else. And I mentioned Jordan Poole. The guy that I skipped over from the starting lineup, of course, is Charles Matthews, because Charles seems to have found himself a little bit. And, you know, since he's been found, and, you know, you see this last year, saw this with a bunch of different guys, Zach Irvin a few years ago, players, like, it seems like every year there's a player or players that have their slumps. Charles Matthews was one of those guys last year. And that it's kind of like you have to break things down to build it back up when you go through the slump. And that might be overstating it. And it just might be, you just have to keep staying aggressive, keep attacking, keep shooting, all those things that coaches tell shooters and offensive playmakers to do. Well, in the game last night, Matthews is 8 of 11 from the floor. He's 3 of 4 from 3. He also was 5 of 8 from the free throw line. 24 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of steals. Only one turnover in there, and he had his best game in a while, and he played pretty well in the previous game, especially in the second half in the game against Wisconsin. Now, Charles needs help, and he fouled out at the end of the game when they were giving up some fouls, and so it would have been nice to have him on the floor for those final those final seconds of the game to maybe give you a shot, because he was the guy that had played the best for you. But that really is the case. Charles Matthews last night, this Charles Matthews from the second half of the Wisconsin game, if that Charles Matthews is around, if that's the Charles Matthews that we're going to see, then that part is good, right? All right, you're set there. Now let's go back and get those other guys back on track. Get Iggy back on track. Get Teske back on track. Iggy, it's a couple games. Teske, it's one game. Get Xavier Simpson back on track. For him, it's one game. For Jordan Poole, he's the guy that really needs to get back on track and find his confidence. Because if you can find some confidence, if he can get that confidence going, that's going to be it's going to be big. It's really important for this team, right? They need to find that that confidence in a hurry needs to get going, because for this team to win big games coming up, and they've got two against Maryland and two against Michigan State and the game at Minnesota, and for that matter, the home against Nebraska. You want to win games? You're going to need Jordan Poole playing some pretty good basketball for you. So he needs to get back on track in a hurry for the Maize and Blue. Continue talking Michigan basketball throughout the morning. Following their loss last night, lamenting Michigan's 75-69 loss to Penn State. What's the significance of the loss? What do you do going from here? And by that, it's go back and get back on the winning track. But what is it going to take to get back to the winning track? What do you do against Maryland on Saturday? Talk about that a little bit today. Of course, we're going to get more into that as we get towards the game on Saturday as well. So a little preview today and a lot of preview Friday to get you ready for Michigan versus Maryland. We're talking Michigan-Penn State throughout the morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor, Accumulus Station.